Welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you're brand new with us, we're glad that you found us. Every day we're going to dive into Rick's teachings, and today we're continuing the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Now, in this series, Rick explores how the different Hebrew names of God that are found in the Bible actually illustrate the special ways that God cares for us. His constant presence, His purpose for your life, and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. Okay, I'm excited to hear what Rick has to say with part one of a message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life.
You need joy in your life. This is not just some casual thing that, it'd be nice to have. You have a fundamental emotional need for joy in your life. Life without joy is overwhelming. Life without joy is overburdened. Life without joy is oppressive. Studies have actually shown that the more joy we have in our lives, the more productive we are. In fact, I read last night an article by U.S. News and World Report saying that corporations are now hiring joy consultants to kind of pop up and build up the joy in people's lives so that all the employees will be more productive. That it is true that you have more energy, more creativity, more productivity, the more joy you have in your life. Now, for several weeks, we've been in this series on how God wants to meet your deepest needs. And that includes your need for joy. In fact, one of the names of God over in Psalm 43, in the Hebrew, the Bible says God's name is El Simchath Gali, which means, I am the God of exceeding joy. I am the God that knows how to party. I am the God of overflowing, abundant joy. Now, when you talk about joy, of course, you have to go to the book of Philippians. That little short book in the New Testament, it's only four chapters long, but 16 times in four chapters, Paul says, rejoice, be joyful, enjoy life. 16 times he uses the word joy in four chapters. Now, the amazing thing is, Paul didn't write this book while he was on vacation in, the Caribbean. He was in prison, in a dungeon, in Rome, awaiting to be executed. And in the darkest days of his life, he writes the most positive book in the Bible. And he gives us his six joy builders. They are the opposite of the joy busters in life. They are the antidotes to the killjoys of life. And to help you remember them today, I put them in a little acrostic, J-O-Y-F-U-L. Six joy builders. If you will get out a piece of paper, write these down, and begin to practice these things in your life, you will find depression lifting, discouragement diffusing, and a new sense of joy in your life, which you need. Number one, the J in joyful stands for jettison all regrets about my past. Jettison all regrets about my past. Now, you know what jettison means. It means to throw overboard. And whether it's an airplane that's trying to lighten its load by throwing out cargo so it can stay aloft, or it's a boat trying to stay afloat and so they throw the cargo overboard, jettison means to abandon as worthless, to discard, to eliminate, to get rid of. And Paul says, if you want to enjoy life, there are some things you got to chuck. There are some things you got to get rid of. There are some things you have to throw overboard in your life because they are wearing you down and they are overburdening your life. And the first thing he says you got to jettison is regrets about the past. Now, we all have regrets. I mean, everybody's got skeletons in the closet because nobody's perfect. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes series, once decided to play a prank on some very important people in England, and so he wrote an anonymous note to eight prominent men in England, and the note said, unsigned, all is found out, flee at once. And he just wanted to see what would happen. In 24 hours, all eight men had left the country. Now, I'm sure we could find out certain things about you that would cause you to want to leave this service right now. But we all have regrets. The only problem with regret is it doesn't work. It cannot change your past, and so it just makes you miserable. When we get stuck in the land of if-onlys, if only I could redo my life, if only I could change things, if only I could relive that part, if only I could resolve things differently and make different decisions. Well, you can't. And so it's not going to change by regretting. Regretting is just a waste of time. You say, well, what do I do? The Bible says forget it. Did you know that once you forget it, then you can get on with your life? You say, well, how can I do that? You can forget it because God does. The Bible says that when we come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry, I've blown it, I've made a mistake. When we come to Christ and we confess our sins to him, that he takes those sins, he throws them in the deepest parts up the part of the ocean, and he puts up a no fishing sign. And the Bible says, their sins will I remember no more. That's an amazing verse. That the God of the universe chooses to forget your mistakes once they're confessed. Now, if God can forget your mistakes and your sins, so can you. And then you can get on with life. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, this isn't on your outline, says, forget what happened in the past and don't dwell on events from long ago, because I'm going to do something new. The starting point of joy is to let go of the past. Jettison all regrets, the grief, the grudges, and the guilt. Then the O in joyful stands for omit all worries about my future. Now we got to face the other end of life. If you're going to enjoy the present, you must omit all worries about your future. And worry, hands down, is the greatest killjoy of them all. You cannot be joyful and worried at the same time. We've talked about this many times. Worry only makes things worse. The more you worry about something, the bigger it gets in your mind, turn mountain into molehills. Vice versa. Molehills into mountains. And it exaggerates and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind. Worry is just as useless as regret. You can't change the past. You can't change the future. So Paul's antidote are these verses. First, look at the first verse, Philippians 3:13. One thing I do is forget what is behind me and do my best to reach out what is ahead. Okay, circle the phrase, forget what is behind me. He says, I start by doing that. And then look at the next verse. And then he talks about the future. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He's saying there are 2 days you shouldn't worry about, yesterday and tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now, here's his alternative. You can either worry or you can pray. If you are worrying, it means one thing. You're not praying. If you are praying, you don't have to worry. So Paul says, if you want to be filled with joy, you got to forget the past and you got to forget the future and you got to focus on right now. Don't worry and don't regret, because I have a plan for your life. Did you know that the old English word for worry is the word means to choke or to strangle? That's what the English word for worry means, to choke or to strangle. Today the word is necktie. Okay, now you've seen the coat, all right? We can take this off now. All right. Worry like a necktie can cut off the blood of your carotid artery. You can't think straight, and you can do really stupid things when you worry. Paul says, omit all worry about your future and instead pray. The Y in joyful stands for yield myself to God's purpose. Yield myself to God's purpose. Because a third killjoy in life is having no real purpose at all. If you're just drifting, if you don't know where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here, well, of course you're not going to have any joy in your life. You're just going to kind of cruise on autopilot through life, substituting happiness for joy, short-term pleasure for joy. You see, we all need a cause greater than ourselves for which to live for, and that is what brings us joy. Living for yourself does not bring joy. Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he has literally lost everything. He's old, he's in prison, he's in poor health, he's lonely, he's living in a dungeon in Rome, chained to a Roman Praetorian guard 24 hours a day. So they've taken away everything from this guy. He has no friends, he has no ministry, he has no freedom, he even has no privacy since a guard is chained to him 24 hours a day. But there is one thing that they could not take away from Paul. His purpose in life. And so Paul says in Philippians 1:21, For me to live is Christ. The one word purpose, I live for Christ. In 2 Timothy, another book he wrote at the same time, he says, my only purpose in life is to please him. Now listen, if you want to have a joy-filled life, if you want to get out of the dumps and into the joy zone, you need to get in line with God's purpose for your life. You need to make that statement where you say, God, I give myself to you, and I want you to put your purpose in my life. And when you begin to live the purpose for which you were made, all of a sudden life makes sense, and all of a sudden the joy goes up. Look at this verse. Let's read it together. Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, to be tools in the hand of God, to be used for His good purpose. I dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer. The most dangerous prayer is the two words, use me. Use me. That's the most dangerous prayer you can ever pray. I prayed that prayer when I was 17 years old, and I had no idea for the adventure that I was in for. My only regret now is that I didn't pray it earlier, that I didn't pray it sooner, that I wasted even years before that. If you want to experience the joy that is beyond explanation, pray the prayer, use me, God, because there is no greater thrill in life, none, whatever, to feeling God use you in the life of another person. Nothing even vaguely comes close to the thrill of being used by God. And I want to tell you from experience that if you get usable, God will use you. In fact, He'll wear you out. Because God is looking for people who will yield themselves to His purpose. The F in joyful stands for focus. Focus on what's good. Once I've yielded myself to God's purpose, I need to start looking around in the world at what's God been doing. Now, as you know, life is filled with ups and downs. We have mountains and valleys. We have wins and losses. We have good times and bad times. We have critics and we have compliments. And of course, you have a choice. Which are you going to focus on? Now, you can walk around looking at all the bad things in your life, or you can go around looking at all the good things in your life. It's your choice. Looking at the cup, is it half full or is it half empty? But it is your choice, and every day you're making that choice. What am I choosing to focus on? Listen, even on your worst day, life is good. Even on your worst day, you have it better off than many, many other people in this world. And so you can choose to focus on what is good. Paul gives us his fourth joy builder in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, fix your thoughts, that's focus, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, where do you get a list of things like that? Talk radio? Not likely. Television? Is that where you're going to find things that are true and admirable and pure and excellent? No. The newspaper? Magazines? No. There's one place you can count on. It's this book. God's Word. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more positive, the more joyful you're going to be. Because this is true. This is right. This is admirable. This is worthy of value. And so fill your mind every day. Spend some time reading God's Word. You see, in your mind, there is this scale of the negative thoughts you get every day, the negative input, and the positive input. Now, you don't have to go looking for negative thoughts. They're all over. And people are more than happy to give them to you on a regular basis. And so as you just go through life, you get a lot of pebbles put on the negative side of your brain. And if you don't counterbalance that intentionally with God's truth, with God's Word, with positive thoughts and beautiful ideas, then you're going to get out of balance. And the negative is going to outweigh the positive in your life. And it's no wonder you're depressed. It's no wonder you're down all the time. It's no wonder you're discouraged. You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Why? You don't have any food to feed the soul food that's going to equal out and equalize the negative in your life. Paul says, if you want to have joy, the fourth joy builder is to build or focus on what is good. Now, Paul practiced this himself. I mean, even when he's in prison, had every reason to be bitter, every reason to complain, every reason to have a pity party. All of his friends had left him. He's alone. He's old. He's in prison, unjustly going to be persecuted and executed. And while he was in prison, Christians turned against him and were attacking him incessantly. He was criticized unjustly. Now, if there's anything that takes away our joy any faster than criticism, I don't know what it is. Just let somebody say something about how you look or about what you said or make a judgment against you. Immediately, you lose your joy. You want to retaliate. You want to get even. You want to criticize back. You start stewing in your mind. And Paul says, I don't have time for critics. I have yielded myself to God's purpose. I'm focusing on what's good. The last thing I'm going to do is let some stupid critic rob me of my joy. And so he says, I'm not even going to allow other people to take my joy from me. I don't have time to mess with critics. Now, let me make a little application here. The reason why you're unhappy a lot of the time is because you get too concerned about trivial issues. The reason you lose your joy so rapidly is that you don't focus on the things that really matter. You allow unimportant things to upset you. How many arguments in your family are really over major issues? Isn't it true that a lot of the conflict in your life, a lot of the joy, killjoys in your life, are over inconsequential things that aren't even going to matter 30 minutes from now, much less for eternity? And every time you get upset over an insignificant issue, you are letting the killjoys rob your joy for a dumb reason. Paul says, focus on what is good. That's your choice. And every day you're making a choice. Am I going to be joyful or am I going to be stressed out? You know, a couple weeks ago, I had to go pick up my car. It was being serviced at the dealer and had a very busy day. And when I got there early, I discovered that it was going to be another 30 or 45 minutes until it was done. Well, I lead a very busy life. And I had all these appointments lined up and I had everything knowing what I was going to do. And it was going to shove the whole day off kilter, because I was going to have to wait another 45 minutes for this car. Well, I'm standing there and I say to myself, self? What do I want to do here? Here's my choice. Am I going to get stressed out or am I going to choose joy? It's my choice to rejoice. Am I going to get stressed out by the fact that I can't control this and even worrying about it isn't going to change it? Or am I going to experience joy in this moment? So I said, self, I want to be joyful. So I looked around and I found a little park bench right there by the service bay. It was a sunny day. I looked around. Nobody was sitting there. I walked over to the bench. I sat down. I laid out on it. I kicked my shoes off. I closed my eyes. I put my hands behind my head. I let the sun come down on my face. I listened to the birds sing. I prayed that no one would recognize Pastor Rick. That no one would say, could I talk to you about a problem? And for 30, 45 minutes, I just zoned out. I was in the joy zone. When I finished, I was a lot more calm, relaxed. It made the rest of my day. Now, that was a whole lot better than just pacing around, you know, the waiting room, waiting for the car to be finished and worried that these guys hadn't delivered it exactly when they were going to deliver it. That was my choice. And it's your choice too. Focus on what's good. The fifth key to being joyful is use my life to help others. That's the you in joyful. Use my life to help others. Now, Paul was joyful because he was unselfish. He invested his life in others. And if you want to have continuous joy in your life, here is the secret. Give your life away in helping others. Stop focusing on your little puny problems and aches and pains and start focusing on helping others. Become other-centered. And the more you give your life away, Jesus said, the more you find it. The more unselfish you become, the more joyful person you're going to be. The more self-centered you are, the more miserable, cranky, self-piteous type person you're going to be. Paul is in prison, and even in prison, he's thinking about other people. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, dear brothers and sisters, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work. Paul's joy was the people he had invested his life in. Paul's joy were the people that he cared about, that he'd led to Christ, that he'd helped grow. He says, you're my joy. Probably the most famous line of all of Shakespeare's play is the phrase, to be or not to be, right? And what is that from? It's from Hamlet. Good. Yeah, this group is a little more intelligent than the last service. We had to sing, "Don't Know Much About Geography," in the last service. Yes, it's from Hamlet. And it's Hamlet's famous soliloquy. Hamlet is talking to himself. The Prince of Denmark is saying, to be or not to be, that is the question. You know what he's talking about? Suicide. Suicide. He was considering taking his life. And he's saying, I don't know whether I'm going to take my life or go on living in pain. Should I live or should I die? Should I live or should I die? To be or not to be? It's interesting. Paul said the exact same thing in Philippians chapter 3 for the exact opposite reason. The exact opposite reason of the Prince of Denmark. Hamlet's saying, I don't know what's worse, living or dying. I don't know what's worse. Which is more painful, for me to go on in my pain or for me to die in pain? And he said, I don't know which one's worse. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says the exact opposite. He says, I don't know which is better, to go to heaven or to stay here and serve people in the name of Christ. Which one's better? It's the same dilemma. It's a different point. And guess which one had the joy? Paul, because he was using his life to help others. In Philippians 3, 21 to 24, it's not the wrong passage there. He says this in the Living Bible. For me, living means opportunity for Christ. And dying, well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunities to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or to die. He says, sometimes I want to live, and other times I don't, for I long to go and be with Christ. But the fact is, I can be of more help to you by staying. Now, how could death be possibly be a benefit to Paul? Because he knew where he was going. He was a friend of God. And Paul says, either way, I win. On earth, my purpose is to live for God. When I die, I get to go be with God. Get this. He has a purpose for living, and he has a purpose for dying. You can't get a man down who has that. That's his secret of joy. Purpose for living, purpose for dying. Do you? Do you have a purpose for living? Do you have a purpose for dying? If you don't, it's no wonder you don't have any joy in your life. Because you haven't yielded yourself to God's purpose, and you haven't got to know his son, so you're not ready to live, and you're not ready to die. You're miserable. Paul says, when I use my life to help others, it brings joy in my life. And so either way I win, whether I live or whether I die. Finally, Paul's last joy builder, the L in joyful stands for learn to be content. Learn to be content. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I have learned, circle that, to be content whatever the circumstance. It wasn't natural. He had to learn it. Now, of course, it's easy to be content when you're living on Easy Street, but Paul's life was not easy. It was very difficult. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us a little of his biography, and he says this, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. In other words, I was whipped 39 times, 5 different experiences. Now, add that up. 5 times 39, you can figure out how many scars were on the back of Paul. 5 times 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been in constant danger. I've labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've even been cold and gone without clothing. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. In spite of all this, Paul says, no matter what happens, rejoice. In all situations, rejoice. In the Lord, always rejoice. He says, I've learned to be content. Here's the bottom line. If you don't get anything else, get this. Joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. You are as joyful as you choose to be. And if you're discouraged today, it's because you're choosing to be discouraged. You can choose to be joyful because there are many things you can be joyful about. And God is saying here, if you learn to be content, and you choose to make the right decisions, you can be joyful. You see, we get caught up in when and then thinking. when this happens in my life, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I get a job, then I'll be happy. When I graduate, then I'll be happy. When, you know, fill in the blank, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. You are as happy as you choose to be. You are as joyful as you choose to be, because joy is a choice.
I don't know about you, but I am encouraged after that message. And let's keep the encouragement going with a letter from one of our listeners. Here's Rick.
Today I want to share a letter from Paul. He wrote me, Pastor Rick, I've been a listener for over a year now, and I don't really know how else to say this other than that through you, I've grown in my faith, and I've been able to understand the relationship that I can have with Christ, and I'm now living it. And I have seen a transformation in my mother as well, who recently became a devoted listener, and she's growing in her faith and relationship to Jesus. Pastor Rick, I pray for God to continue using you in your service of serving others, bringing God's word around the world for many people to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, your letter blesses me as I read all of these letters each day. Thank you for listening to Daily Hope. Thank you for applying the messages in your life. Thank you for sharing them with your mom and with other people. This is what it's all about. Together, we are taking the gospel, the good news, to the whole world. I do my part and you do your part when you pray and you invite and you send and you share the good news with other people and when you're able to support us here too. Thank you, Paul, for your letter. I want you to know we're praying for you today.
You know, a great way to share the good news of Jesus is to share the Daily Hope messages with people who need to hear them. Just go to PastorRick.com. Click on the Listen tab. There you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. That's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.